I just got a very wonderful shipment of goodies from the folks at Reese's. And let me tell you something. These people remain the absolute worldwide leaders in bringing together chocolate and peanut butter. Of course, we know that peanut butter cups remain transcendent. But have you tried the Reese's Sticks? They're wafers with peanut butter in between each wafer, all coated in chocolate. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter just brings people joy, and the folks at Reese's do it better than anyone. So shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold. Hey everyone, this week we're celebrating our 10th anniversary by sharing your three all-time favorite episodes, each with a brand new update. And mark your calendar, we're having an Instagram Live 10th anniversary party with special guests Carla Hall and Sola El Whaley. Sola's going to teach me how to make a roux. I've gone 10 years as a food podcaster without ever making a roux. I think it's time to learn. We'll also be raising money at this event for Feeding America. So join us this Saturday night, September 26th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at TheSporkful so you don't miss it. Now, here's today's episode, number 2 of 3 this week. It's called Katie's Year in Recovery. It followed a woman named Katie Hacker over the course of 2017. At the end, we'll have the update. Thanks.
Hi, Dan. This is Katie from Virginia. I have been in recovery for the past 7 months from a restrictive eating disorder. So in the new year, I would like to eat a little bit of everything. I want to eat hot dogs and ice cream. I want to have a donut. I haven't had a donut in 5 years. But more than that, I want to be able to eat the donut and the hot dogs and the pizza without fear and without guilt. I want to be able to go out with my husband and enjoy them. I want to get a pizza and a beer with him because that's what he loves. That's what I want to do in the new year.
I got that resolution from Katie a year ago. I asked her to start keeping an audio journal of her progress. So for the past year, Katie's been sending me updates.
Today was just one of those days where I looked in the mirror and all I could see was fat.
At times, these messages have been hard for me to listen to. If you've struggled with an eating disorder, they'll probably be even harder for you. But I wanted to understand what it's like to wake up each morning and have to fight this battle, not only with food, but more importantly, with yourself.
Gosh, it's so overwhelming sometimes to think that I'm going to be afraid of a cupcake for the rest of my life. I'm going to be afraid of French fries for the rest of my life.
Today on The Sporkful, we're bringing you a rare look inside one person's struggle with an eating disorder and a look at how that struggle affects relationships. Stick around. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Katie Hacker lives outside Lynchburg, Virginia. She's 36 now. And I should say, during her recovery, she's gotten help both from a licensed counselor and a nutritionist. She's also on an eating plan. But even with that support, as you'll hear, it's still a long, hard process. Before we get to the past year and the audio journals, let's go further back. How did Katie end up with an eating disorder in the first place?
I was always a really strong girl, and I always had a ton of confidence. And when I was in high school and college specifically, I was overweight. And the funny thing was is that I had like the best self-esteem. I thought I was like super hot and super beautiful. And like I just didn't care. And I did what I wanted and I had a great time. And then when I was, you know, I became an adult and I was working, like I just started losing weight naturally. And I think my relationship with food became, you know, mildly disordered like a long time ago. I had a friend who had a baby. You know, she was talking about losing the baby weight and she started counting her calories on an app on her phone. And so I started doing that too, you know, for no reason. I was completely happy with the way that I was. And so I started counting calories and I gave myself something ridiculous, like 1,200 a day or something. I figured that was the correct number.
To be clear, 1,200 calories a day is very low. The right number varies from one person to the next based on a number of factors. but a 26-year-old woman, like Katie was at the time, should have been consuming approximately 2,000 calories a day.
I would get to 1,000 calories, 1,100 calories a day, and I would get nervous, so I would, you know, have egg whites for dinner. I don't know when, like, I flipped to where it became more obsessive. I started, like, tracking all my calories and everything, and, like, I whittled down my diet to very few things and only things that I was comfortable eating.
So one thing I'm curious about, and I would never pretend to be an expert on eating disorders at all, but I know enough to know that part of the condition involves a distorted view of how your own body looks. How sure are you that you were overweight before and that you were never visibly underweight at the worst of the condition?
That is a good question. I mean, I think that I know that I was, when I was overweight, I knew I was overweight because I would go to the doctor and, like, I knew how much I weighed.
Did a doctor ever say you should lose weight?
No. I think that was just kind of a me thing. When I was my smallest, I thought I looked great, right? And Todd would always look at me and say, "You're so ribby." And, like, the funny thing was, I would take that as a compliment, but I don't think that he meant it as a compliment. Like, I don't think that your husband ever looks at you and wants to see your ribs sticking out, right? But I felt good about that.
One of our first dates, I invited her over for a luxurious meal of corn dogs.
This is Katie's husband, Todd.
Corn dogs were just a subtext to get her over here. I wanted to hang out with her. And I love a corn dog, so it works on two levels.
Katie and Todd first started dating when she was 28. At that point, she was obsessively counting calories. But she wasn't so far along that she couldn't eat a corn dog.
Oh, I remember everything. I even remember what I was wearing. I remember we went to the Food Lion and got the corn dogs. And then it was the first shooting star I ever saw. And he brought blankets out and we laid on the deck. I knew I was going to marry him. I think that night. It was like a month in. He had me.
Soon after that date, it was Katie's turn to pick the food. She told Todd she was taking him for the best fish tacos ever. He told her if the tacos proved to be that good, he'd officially call her his girlfriend.
And they were good, so she got the job as a girlfriend. And
I officially won you over with fish tacos?
Yeah.
Had you already decided you were going to say that before you ate the tacos, Todd?
Yeah, it was just a very good excuse to say that, though. And the tacos were good, so.
He was running his first ultra marathon that Saturday, and so I made him chocolate chip cookies and chocolate milk. So basically, our relationship was built on food.
A good portion of it is.
At various points in our conversations, I'd ask Katie or Todd, when did this happen? When did that happen? But it was hard for them to pinpoint exact moments. The changes were so gradual.
We would go out to eat, and she's always ordering a salad or she just was full and didn't want to go out to eat with everyone else. Or if it was a restaurant that didn't have a salad, we just wouldn't go. And it just kind of slowly became that. If there's not something Katie can eat there, we won't go. And, you know, occasionally Katie would always, after dinner, just disappear and go to the bathroom. And it's just one of those things that just kind of bounced around in the back of my mind. And, you know, I was like, surely, you know, she's not going into the bathroom to throw up.
How embarrassing is it that you throw up all your food, you know, just to stay skinny? So it's one of those things that, like, I didn't like doing, but I couldn't stop doing. And then I had to start hiding. I think the first time Todd caught me was, this is so gross. I'm sorry. The first time that I threw up in the bathroom and I flushed the toilet and everything didn't disappear. It didn't go down. And so he came in and asked me if I was sick. And I was like, no, I'm not. No, why? And he said, then why are you throwing up? And I was like, oh, I was just way too full. And, you know, I was just uncomfortable. I ate too much at dinner. And I remember him being like, you ate a salad. And, you know, I was like, oh, I just ate too much salad. And I'm lying over something that's, you know, at the time I felt like this is so silly. Like, why am I doing this? This is so silly. But, you know, I couldn't stop.
So Todd was suspicious. He was asking questions, but Katie was still insisting everything was fine. until one day she couldn't hold out any longer.
She went to the bathroom and came back, and I said, did you just go in there and throw up? And she just point blank said, yeah, I did. I said, why did you do that? She kind of broke down and started crying and said, I don't know why I did it. I think I'm not good.
Then, on Katie's 34th birthday, 8 years after she started the calorie counter, she hit rock bottom.
So my birthday is December 19th, and for my birthday, Todd took me to Washington, D.C. to go to see the National Symphony do Handel's Messiah. And so we went out to breakfast that morning, and the place where we went to brunch wanted to bring me like a cinnamon roll with a candle in it, and I turned it down, and I couldn't have it. And so they brought me a grapefruit. And like, I thought about that all day, how I had a grapefruit for my birthday. And then we went out to dinner at this amazing restaurant. And I remember I had dinner and then we had dessert. And my husband was like, you have to have dessert because I love Bananas Foster. And they had it and it was my birthday. And so we had dessert and then we went to the Kennedy Center and I went to the bathroom and I had to throw everything up. And like, I'm in a beautiful place with, you know, dressed up nice and lots of beautiful, you know, women in this beautiful bathroom. And I'm throwing up in the Kennedy Center because I couldn't stand the thought of that Bananas Foster sitting in my stomach. And I thought, this is crazy. Now I look back at it and I say, I've thrown up in some of the nicest bathrooms in America. But like, what was I doing? And like, I was wrecking my teeth and I was lying and I was sad and I was hungry all the time.
That moment in the Kennedy Center was 2 years ago. Katie began her recovery soon after and sent me that New Year's resolution 1 year ago. Which brings us to the past year in Katie's life and the audio journals I asked her to record. They started arriving January 5th, and at first Katie sounded like she was doing great, especially for someone still so early in the recovery process.
The other thing I want to talk about real quick is egg yolks. I mean, can we get an amen for egg yolks? I hadn't eaten an egg yolk in probably 5 or 6 years, and now they are literally one of my favorite things.
I was excited to hear that Katie was getting so much pleasure from food. But just 2 weeks later, I got a very different message. Katie and Todd went to a birthday party, and she had a bit of cake. One note, when Katie refers to ED behaviors, ED is like ED, an acronym for eating disorder.
After I ate my small sliver, I just obsessed over it and obsessed and obsessed and obsessed until I finally was able to get away, and I actually fell back into my ED behaviors. And then I guess most disappointing is that I didn't tell my husband, Todd. And then yesterday I was having, I guess, a little bit of a meltdown. And he said, well, you're still okay. Did you throw up today? And I said, no. And he said, did you throw up yesterday? And I had to say yes. And he got so sad. And he said, why are you doing this alone?
After hearing about that big setback, I found it hard to open Katie's next message. Her journal entries started piling up in my inbox. The ups and downs were just excruciating. As winter turned to spring, I got this.
My husband and I had corn dogs last week, and they were amazing. And I just came to this realization that the weight that I've gained doesn't represent a lack of control. The weight that I've gained represents the fun that I'm having.
Then, just 3 weeks later.
This is so hard. I'm forcing myself to eat breakfast. It's like 11 o'clock. I literally have to force myself to swallow. And I feel like, how did I get back here? Some days I just feel like this cycle is just never going to end. Like on Saturday, I felt great. And I told my husband, you know, I feel like I finally think I look great. But then today I have, you know, my clothes don't fit. And I just want to give up, but I remind myself that, like, if I go back, I could die. I don't want to die.
Coming up, we'll continue to follow Katie's efforts to fulfill her New Year's resolution. Plus, early in her recovery, Katie switched careers and became a baker. Now, that may surprise you, but it turns out people who struggle with eating disorders are often drawn to careers in food. And there's a famous experiment from the 1940s that explains why. We'll tell you about it. Stick around.
Time to open up a can of advertisements.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. They've got over 7,000 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels, and you will get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. I especially love those Cambria Hotels. They have locally inspired hotel bars with all kinds of specialty cocktails, downtown locations right in the center of all the action. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces. That way, if you're a business traveler, you'll be able to get all your work done. On-site restaurants, fantastic. And then at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles and great pools for the whole family and spacious rooms. I mean, if you have kids, you understand the importance of the pool. If you stay at a hotel with a pool, almost nothing else matters. Fortunately, all the Choice Hotels take care of all the other stuff too, but I mean, a pool is a great start. Whatever kind of vacation you're going on, whatever kind of travel you're doing, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Recently, I went into my closet to try to get a collared shirt out, and it occurred to me that I don't think I have bought a new collared shirt in 5 years. I mean, every shirt in there was either really old, or it had some kind of perma-stain situation, or it probably never fit right in the first place. I gotta freshen up a little bit here. It's time for something new, right? And spring is coming. Now is the time if you've been looking to refresh your wardrobe, home, or skincare and beauty routines this season. Because, you know, Walmart has genuinely surprising style finds that don't break the bank. This spring, there's only one destination for the latest fashion, home, and beauty inspired by real life. Walmart. I freshened up my wardrobe. I got some nice dress shirts, a couple light hoodies. You know, you need light hoodies for the springtime. Very useful, very comfortable. Discover surprisingly stylish new season favorites at Walmart now, or shop it all on the Walmart app. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending. Now trending, your style at Walmart. A few years back, my friend Justin Warner from Food Network moved out to South Dakota. He opened a ramen joint, and he is always posting pictures of all the great food he's not only cooking, but eating all over South Dakota. He's always telling me to come visit. And you know, one of the best ways to experience a new place is to eat your way through it. But it's equally important to live your way through it, too. And when you summer in South Dakota, you can fill up on all the lake days, hikes, rides, and small-town strolls that'll leave you with a regained sense of wonder and a hunger to do it all over again. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. I continue to get a lot of flack for my PB&J technique, okay? Jelly on the top, jelly on the bottom, peanut butter in the middle. That's the way to go. And the first thing people say is, well, when you spread the jelly on both sides and then spread the peanut butter on top, you're going to tear the bread. And my answer to you is, use better bread. Like Hero Bread. You get that whole wheat Hero Bread, it's got some grain, it's got some heft, it's got some flavor, it's got some texture, and it will stand up to my excellent PB&J technique. Hero makes delicious breads that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, but plenty of protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, a savory breakfast burrito, or a mouthwatering cheeseburger, you can have all that with Hero Breads. And let me tell you, we are a big burrito-eating family in our house. Breakfast burritos happen multiple times a week, and these Hero Flour Tortillas are perfect for it. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co, that's hero.co, and use code Sporkful at checkout for that discount. That's code Sporkful at hero.co. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. If you're new to our show, I hope that after this episode, you'll take a minute to scroll through our feed and check out some of our other episodes. You can hear my conversation with Guy Fieri, who tells me what people don't get about him.
I think everybody thinks I live on a yacht that shoots off rockets, you know, at midnight every night.
And check out the story of Cara Nicoletti. She's a fourth-generation butcher, but the first woman in the family to do the job. She spent 10 years developing a type of sausages that none of her ancestors could have imagined. When it came time to start selling them on her own, it took a woman entrepreneur to tell her, "You're not thinking big enough." Now, when she and her female business partners roll into meetings,
the guys will, like, sort of laugh at us at first and sort of be like, "Okay, like, you know, whatever, little girls." But then we start talking and, like, they kind of, like, test you and start throwing questions your way. And once you can answer them all, they respect you maybe even more.
Hear Cara's story in our recent episode, "This Butcher Wants You to Eat Less Meat." It's up now where you got this one. And hey, by the way, whatever podcast app you use to listen, take a minute right now and subscribe or follow or favorite, whatever the thing is in your app. That way we can stay in touch and you won't miss future episodes. You can do it right now while you're listening. Thanks. Now, back to Katie Hacker. There were two things about Katie's story in particular that, at first, were surprising to me. One, she listens to this show. Two, she's a baker. Not only that, but she decided to make that her career just as she was beginning her recovery. And actually, I've heard from a lot of you who are loyal listeners. Some of you even work in food, and you've struggled with eating disorders. Now, it could be my own ignorance, but when I first heard that, I thought, if you have issues with food, maybe don't listen to food podcasts and cook food all day. As I learned when I talked with Katie, though, it's more complicated than that. What was your relationship with food before all this started?
I mean, it was just something that you had to do. I never thought of food like I did, like once I got sick. Once I got sick, though, that was when I became obsessed with food. I would listen to all the food podcasts. Like, I listened to yours and, like, we had the Food Network. Like, when I would get, like, Southern Living or, you know, different magazines, I wouldn't read any of the other articles besides the recipes. And I would think, why am I reading this Southern Living magazine? It's not like I'm going to cook anything in here. But the sicker I got, the more obsessed I became with it.
What do you make of that? What do you make of the fact that that became such a big part of your life?
I think I was so delusional that I, like, convinced myself that I just loved food and I loved learning about food. And I think it was just like, I was just really hungry all the time. So I was probably, like, trying to feed my soul so I didn't have to feed my belly. I don't know. I started baking. So now I actually do that as a job. But before, like, I would bake and I would take it in to people at work because I think I always thought I liked making people happy. I told people that food was my love language, which was completely false. Like, I hated it. But I would never eat it. And it was so funny. Like, I was reading a book once and it said that, like, people who are anorexic will make, like, elaborate dishes and give them to people just so that they can feel good about themselves that they're not eating it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's me. Food isn't my love language. Food is my way of, like, controlling other people. So that was terrible.
Katie says since her recovery began, she's less obsessed with food media. But what she describes going through is pretty common.
People who have eating disorders are often in a state of deprivation. Deprivation can lead to obsession.
This is Claire Misko. She's the CEO of the National Eating Disorders Association.
I got into this field because I struggled with an eating disorder myself. And so I can relate to this. I used to take great pleasure in baking and making recipes that I never ate any of the food that I was cooking. So in a cautionary way, I would say that it's important if people are obsessed with recipes, obsessed with food media and food social media, that can be a warning sign. But if it's coming from a place of wanting to heal your relationship, so getting back to a place of connecting around food, that's a positive sign.
In the 1940s, there was this seminal study called the Minnesota Starvation Experiment. a group of men were voluntarily subjected to a semi-starvation diet. And over time, they developed elaborate and obsessive rituals around food. One participant said, "It made food the most important thing in your life." And here's the part that really struck me. After the study ended, many of the men changed careers and got into the food industry. So even after the deprivation ended, some part of the obsession remained.
The food industry, there are a lot of chefs, a lot of people in the food industry have talked about having unhealthy relationships with food. And I would love to see more advocacy from your industry around this.
There was a piece in BuzzFeed a couple years ago by Christy Harrison. She was a freelance food writer who eventually landed a job at Gourmet magazine. She says at first, working in food exacerbated her eating issues, led her to realize she had an eating disorder. But over time, because her work forced her to interact so often with food and people, it was her job that helped her overcome her eating disorder. So careers in food can be like food media. If you're getting into it because you're deprived and that's making you obsessed, that's a problem. If you're connecting with people through food, that can be therapeutic. Katie says her decision to get into baking as a career has been a crucial part of her recovery. And it was supported by her counselor, who's also struggled with an eating disorder. In Katie's old job, she wasn't treated well. Her self-esteem suffered. Now she's made new friends in town through her work, and she's good at it.
Over the weekend, I did a really cute like rainbow drip cake, and it was just like so pretty, and it was all these colors, and I don't know, it just made me so happy that it turned out correctly and the colors were swirled together, and it was just, I thought, I'm an artist.
What are the unique challenges of being a professional baker while struggling with an eating disorder? I mean, like, just in terms of the tangible day-to-day of like doing the job well.
Yeah, that is really hard on like when I have like a large order. I think on days when I have to taste things over and over, my stress level does go up. So that is a challenge, but the benefits outweigh the cost.
Katie talks a lot about how psychological this battle is, how often the biggest struggle isn't putting food in her mouth, it's dealing with the voice in her head. And she's given that voice a name. She calls him Ed, like ED, eating disorder.
Instead of just always saying, like, my eating disorder, it was just easier to kind of give him a personality, you know, just the bad boyfriend that I'm just working on breaking up with because he wants to kill me, you know.
Personifying an eating disorder is fairly common. Some people call their anorexia Anna or their bulimia Mia. The idea is to separate the illness from the person suffering from it, to say, this thing is not who I am, to make it feel like you're fighting someone else instead of fighting yourself. Of course, no one approach is right for everyone. This technique gained popularity after a 2003 best-selling book by Jenny Schaefer called Life Without Ed, which Katie read. And Katie's husband, Todd, has gotten pretty familiar with Ed, too.
I can see it on her face sometimes when he's in her head talking to her. You can kind of see in her eyes the fact that she's questioning her decisions. You know, if we're out somewhere and we're at a Halloween party or something, and she goes to get a little miniature Twix out of the candy bowl and then put it back, that's clearly Ed.
Katie, you've described Ed as an abusive boyfriend. How does he sound when he gets especially abusive?
I mean, I guess like if I'm getting dressed, you know, today, like Ed was especially loud today, you know, because I'm doing this. So he was saying, your pants are too tight. The producer that's coming to your house is going to look at you and think how fat you are and that you probably should be on a diet. Later, he would say, people won't believe that you had an eating disorder because, you know, you were never so skinny. You're just faking it. You're kind of a fraud. Ed makes me think that people notice me and care about what I look like a lot more than people really do.
And Todd, if Ed was a real person and he was sitting in front of you right now, what would you say to him?
I would kindly ask him to leave.
As the year progressed and Katie continued to send me messages, she and Ed kept fighting it out. Katie went to brunch one day and she really wanted the shrimp and grits, so she told the server that's what she'd have. Then Ed got into her head, started telling her what a mistake that was. She quickly changed her order to something healthier. Katie described the incident in her audio journal.
I just was so sad that I let Ed win again, and it was ridiculous. So anyway, she came back with our drinks, and I don't know what came over me, but I said, hey, have you put our order in? And she said, no. And I said, okay, then I want to go back to the shrimp and grits. So I know I was a complete pain in the tail, but I did it, and the eggs were perfectly runny, and the bacon was salty, and the shrimp was amazing, and it was a culinary victory in my mouth, but even more so, you know, I was stronger than Ed that day.
As summer approached and the weather warmed up, Katie was able to check off some pretty big items from her New Year's resolution. They had friends over and the couple brought donuts. Katie ate half a donut. It became a regular thing, Friday donuts. Then there was this.
There's this soft serve ice cream truck that's here in Lynchburg where we live. So now that I'm not necessarily afraid of ice cream anymore, you know, it's been a really good time to return to that fun where, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, if the weather was beautiful, we sit in the back of the bed of the truck and we'll go have ice cream for lunch. I sat there and the sun was shining on our faces and I'm looking at this man who I love more than anything and who takes such good care of me, and I just felt this amazing sense of hope. We're getting there.
Then, in the fall, another breakthrough. One year earlier, Katie and Todd had gone on a road trip. They'd picked out a lot of special restaurants to stop at, but Katie really struggled. They went for barbecue in Kansas City, and all she could eat was a salad. She says she wishes she could do that trip over again. But this fall, they went to Cleveland, and Katie ate. Smoked salmon crepe, taco with fries. She and Todd took a cooking class on how to make a bento box and mochi. Then, they went straight from Cleveland to Katie's parents' house for Thanksgiving. When she's home, it can be stressful because everyone in the family knows about her eating disorder, so they're constantly watching to see what she eats.
Right before we had gotten there, my sister sprung it on me that my dad wanted to take pictures, like go and get our family portrait taken. And I don't know why that upset me so much that I kind of like had a little bit of a freak out. And I was just like, I can't, Kelly. I think it was just I was at the end of the week and I had like been as strong as I could be. And then I was just spent. It was just one of those, like, I wasn't happy looking in the mirror that day. So I didn't want that emblazoned forever, you know? On Thanksgiving, my mom was like, okay, well, we're going to go get pictures tomorrow. And I said, I really don't want to, Mom. I'm just not feeling it. And she was just so insistent upon it that we just left the next day instead of staying for the whole weekend, which, looking back on that, like, I regret and I'm sad that I let Ed take that away from me.
By this point in the year, the ratio of good days to bad days had definitely improved. But hearing about setbacks like this was still so disappointing, even for me, an outsider. Imagine how it feels to be Katie or Todd.
Going through this, you certainly go through the gamut of emotions. Anger is one that comes up quite a bit from time to time, at least on my end. You know, it sounds somewhat selfish to say it on my end that, you know, I could help you get through this because I realize my role in this is minimal.
I don't like that he says that his role is minimal because his role is crucial. Like, without him, I wouldn't have wanted to get better. I didn't want to get better for me. I was happy, but I didn't want to die. I didn't want to leave him by himself because he would be a hermit with a giant beard in the woods.
I mean, I understand that a support system is important, but I can't push her away from an eating disorder, but I can be there to help her get there.
Todd, what's the aspect of this that makes you feel angry?
Maybe it's the monotony. When it's every day, do I look fat in these jeans? No, you don't look fat in those jeans. What about these jeans? No, you don't look fat in those jeans either. The redundancy of trying to combat those negative feelings that she has. And in those moments of rage, you just say, well, fine, then go throw up again. And it's a horrible thing to say, but it's just the emotion that you have.
Do you ever resent it?
The eating disorder?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to see someone that has a disorder like that, that causes them to think that they're horrendously obese, there's no amount of anything I can do that can take those thoughts out of her head as much as I want to. It's like agony watching someone go through that.
I just feel tired. Like, I'm just tired of fighting this constant battle, you know, with my brain. I get very nervous and very worried that it's just going to be too much for my husband one day. Emotionally, it's getting a lot better. I just want it to be over. Like, I just want to be better now.
What toll do you feel that this struggle has taken on your marriage?
I think maybe it's taken away like fun things, really good burgers or different things that he wanted me to try. I don't think it's will be detrimental. I think that it has made me love him so much and be so thankful for him. He knows that I'm trying so hard. So 20 years, we'll look back at that silly time in my life where I was afraid of corn dogs, and we'll probably won't laugh, but we'll be thankful that we took care of each other and that we're better people because of it.
As the year drew to a close, Katie and I talked one more time. I want to play for you now the resolution that you sent to me a year ago.
Hi, Dan. This is Katie from Virginia. I have been in recovery for the past 7 months from a restrictive eating disorder. So in the new year, I would like to eat a little bit of everything. I want to eat hot dogs and ice cream. I want to have a donut. I haven't had a donut in 5 years. But more than that, I want to be able to eat the donut and the hot dogs and the pizza without fear and without guilt. I want to be able to go out with my husband and enjoy them. I want to get a pizza and a beer with him because that's what he loves. That's what I want to do in the new year.
What are your thoughts hearing that now?
I think it's great. Like, I feel like I kind of ticked off most of those. Ice cream. I had the donuts. Yeah, I mean, I think I was pretty successful. I think that I'm getting to the without fear and without guilt. Right now, I think it's still like, I would be lying if I said it was unencumbered, but it's definitely easier, much, much, much easier. And there's definitely like much more enjoyment. Like even last night with dinner, like we had dinner and, you know, I had a glass of wine. So like I could normally, I would sit there and add up like glass of wine and chicken and a baked potato, which whatever. But then, you know, it was my father-in-law's birthday, so we had to get dessert and he ordered Bananas Foster, which to me is like, it's like Jesus made that just for me. Like, I think Bananas Foster is amazing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Bananas Foster, so good.
Yeah. So like, it's just one of those things that I was like, calorie schmalleries. I think it was the first, you know, this is so gross, but it was the first time I'd had a Bananas Foster that I kept it in my body and it was awesome. Like, it was just like, when? I would eat it again today if I could.
Well, and I'll remind you, Katie, that in one of our earlier conversations, I asked you when you hit rock bottom and you told me the story of throwing up Bananas Foster at the Kennedy Center in D.C.
Yeah, so that's a nice little coming home. I like that.
And what's your New Year's resolution for 2018?
Oh, I wrote down a couple. 3 years ago, when I was really sick, my mom got me a pasta maker attachment to go on my mixer. And it was like, does she even know me? Like, I haven't eaten pasta in years. So one of my major goals for this year is to break out my pasta maker and like make pasta and like love it, because I'm sure it's going to be awesome. Another food resolution I have is to work harder at making sure that I'm not trying to make myself earn food. So not exercising more on like a birthday or a party or when I'm going to go out to dinner. And next summer, my goal, my biggest goal is to find a really good lobster roll when I'm in Portland, Maine. That's a really important one. I want it to be a butter one, not a mayonnaise-y one.
Why?
Because mayonnaise is kind of the worst when it's too gloppy, but butter makes everything better.
So that was our original story, which came out nearly 3 years ago. Last month, before I connected with Katie and Todd to record an update, I asked them to make one more audio diary. This one as they re-listened to our original episode.
Oh! Todd and I think that it's really important that we let you know that we are listening to the podcast over pizza and beer. So we're at about 7 minutes and 45 seconds, and it was talking about going out to restaurants. And I think that that's something that I've been really successful at. We found this great burger restaurant near our house, and it was the first burger in a long time that I had eaten on a bun.
Katie says she continues to make progress. Occasionally, she does still hear Ed. Remember, that's the name she gave her eating disorder. That happens most often at night when she's tired after a long day. She still sometimes feels anxiety around the way her clothes fit. But there are a lot more good days than bad. And the bad days now are actually more like bad moments.
You were going to say something about ruining your teeth.
Oh, so this is super exciting. For years, ever since my recreational throwing up and ruining my teeth, I have had cavities and root canals. But this past week I went to the dentist, and for the first time in years, I didn't have a single cavity. And like, that means...
I think she called me like four times at work to tell me.
I did. I was so happy about not having a cavity.
Katie continues to work with a support team, a counselor, and a registered dietitian. They've helped her make a variety of positive changes.
One thing that I think was really helpful is I got rid of all my old jeans. I wasn't trying to fit into something that I wore with my sick body.
Another change, Katie no longer refers to her old body before she started treatment as her skinny body. Instead, she calls it her sick body. So Katie is moving in the right direction, but the wounds from everything she's gone through are still pretty raw.
I think it should be said we're at minute 13:58 and we're listening to me crying and we're both sitting here crying.
Katie, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
All right.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Please.
How did you feel when your governor made the decision about a hot dog being a sandwich?
I felt vindicated, Katie.
Katie's referring to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's announcement back in July that the state would enforce the old law that requires places that sell alcohol to also sell food. And a bag of chips doesn't cut it. Cuomo said the lowest level of substantive food allowed is a sandwich. And according to the state of New York, a hot dog counts as a sandwich. Thank you very much. Anyway, back to Katie. She's now been in recovery for 4.5 years. As Todd reminds her, when she began the process, she didn't really understand what she was in for.
I think when you first started, like way back when, and you first went and met with your first counselor, you came home and you were resolved that you were going to beat this thing in 2 months. And then... A couple years go by and you had a different counselor and you came home and said, I'm going to beat this thing in 2 years. In 2 years, I'm not having an eating disorder anymore.
I still have a year left on that.
Well, that's
fine. I said I didn't want to have this when I'm 40. I didn't want to be a 40-year-old woman with an eating disorder. But when I am frustrated, my counselor, Sandra, reminds me that the average eating disorder takes between 4 and 7 years to get over. And so she reminds me that I'm at the very
like low end of recovery.
We did a show years ago about eating disorders. We interviewed the comedian Margaret Cho, who has been open about struggling with eating disorders throughout her life. And one of the things that she said was, it's a chronic condition, that the eating disorder can go into remission, but that you're never cured. Now, I'm no expert, so I trust what your counselor says over anything I say. And obviously, there's no one right answer, but I wonder if there's part of you that has considered that this is going to be something that hopefully on a smaller or lower level, less frequent, but something you may struggle with from time to time for the rest of your life.
I personally don't believe that I'm going to have to. I think that it will, you know, be like for any person where you have like bouts of, you know, flashes of, or thoughts of body displeasure or dissatisfaction. But like, I don't anticipate that I'll be dealing with this for the rest of my life. I personally believe that full recovery is possible. So that's my goal.
According to the National Eating Disorders Association, while everyone has the potential to fully recover, for a wide range of reasons, not everyone will. And relapse and backsliding during the recovery period are very common. Todd's understanding of how eating disorders work has also evolved. He says that before Katie got sick, he felt like the whole idea of eating disorders was kind of overblown.
I think I'm probably, I would say, on par with what most Americans probably think. They're like, yeah, the really, really skinny people where their bones are showing, that's an eating disorder. And aside from that, it doesn't really exist. It's not a thing that I see from time to time. But when you are living with someone that's going through that, you kind of get exposed to all those nuances that wouldn't really affect you. You know, you listen to people talk about diets just casually, you know, what they're doing, what they're not eating, or just these little things that kind of pop up on my radar now that when you look at it through the lens of an eating disorder, I could see how that could be upsetting to someone that's going through it. And it kind of gave me a lot more insight into what Katie's actually feeling and thinking. So for instance, you know, somebody here in the town where we live got COVID and they ended up in the hospital. And as a result, they ended up losing quite a bit of weight. And then we just happened to see them later talking about how they were in the hospital and how they lost so much weight and they can't believe it. And they think they look great now.
And we were just like, you almost died.
But when you,
like, that's so disordered. Like, that's such a,
When you look at that through a different framework, it's like you're celebrating the fact that you got a contagious disease and you lost a bunch of weight. Because you were in the hospital.
Like, I'm at the point in my eating disorder where I look at things and I just get so angry when people like soft dabble with like disordered behaviors, like things that, like, especially when my friends do it. Like, haven't you seen what the last 4 years has been like for me?
Of course, we couldn't do this update without hearing how Katie did on her New Year's resolution that ended the original episode. She says she never got into pasta making just because she got too busy, but she does now eat and enjoy pasta. She's also done better at not exercising to earn food. Last year, she took 4 months off from working out and deleted the fitness app off her smartwatch. She says she used to overexert herself just to get a good score on the app. Now, her exercise is more moderate. As for that lobster roll,
when we went to Maine, some of your lovely listeners recommended that we go to Eventide, and it was the very best thing that I have ever eaten. Like, it was the first time that I probably ate with abandon. Like, just remember being so happy that day.
It was like a scene out of a movie. We got there and there's like a 45-minute wait. And so, did we have oysters?
We had oysters and drinks. I had that blue cheese martini. And then we had these lobster rolls, and then we ordered another lobster roll. And then I told the waiter my story, and I was crying. Even to this day, I think about it all the time. And I just, one of these days, I'm going to order the lobster rolls off Goldbelly and have them delivered.
So Katie checked a lot of items off her list. Most importantly, she's getting better and better at just enjoying food.
One of my favorite things that we do is we go out to this awesome brewery called the Blue Mountain Barrel House, and we'll just get French fries and beer and sit in the sun and let our dog Denver roam around and interact with other dogs. And it's just, I don't know, it's just normal life. Like, it's just a lovely, normal life.
Well, Katie and Todd, it's been great catching up. I'm glad to hear that things continue to move in a positive direction for you. And I hope that continues to be the case. We'll be thinking about you and pulling for you.
Well, congrats on 10 years. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Katie. Take care.
Bye.
Katie Hacker lives with her husband, Todd, near Lynchburg, Virginia. Her baking company is called Katie's Sweet Treats. If you're in the area, order a cake. We'll have a link to our website at sporkful.com. And wherever you are, you can follow Katie on Instagram. Her handle is K8ES Sweet Treats. Earlier in the episode, we also heard from Claire Misko from the National Eating Disorders Association. If anything in this episode sounded familiar, if you or someone close to you needs help, remember that you are not alone. There are people who can help you. Please go to NEDA.org. And in the past, our coverage of eating disorders has focused on women, but I know that a third of people who have them are men. So if you're a man who has dealt with an eating disorder and you're open to talking about it, please drop us a line at hello@sporkful.com. This Friday is the third and final special episode for our 10th anniversary featuring Chef Kwame Nwachi. And don't miss our Instagram live party Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, with special guests Sola El Whaley and Carla Hall. Subscribe to or follow our show in your podcasting app and follow me on Instagram so you don't miss any of that good stuff. This episode was originally produced by Ann Sani and me, editing help from Margaret Kelly and Peter Clowney, music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Dr. Jennifer Sants and Matt Abel, LCSW. The update was produced by Emma Morgenstern and Andres O'Hara, edited by Tracy Samuelson, and engineered by Andrea Kristen's daughter. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Chris Bannon and Daisy Rosario. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And this is Charlotte in Cologne, Germany, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.